I had a very detailed dream last night, and as soon as I woke up, I knew that it was A, from the Lord, and I knew exactly what He was saying in this, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful. I've seeking God to speak to me and to pour into me and visit me in unusual ways, and so I'm very thankful for that. And without going into all the specific details of the dream, I feel like I need to release this into the house. The Lord showed me very clearly that I have been a part of and witnessed revivals for my entire life. Even before I was saved, being raised in church, I've witnessed different moves of God, and I've seen them ushered in different things. So often it's with youth. God would get a hold of a youth group, and you see them begin to stir and catch fire for God, and it begin to spread through the church and everything. I think about some of the early revivals we had in this house, and I think about when T.W. and Mark Wilburn and Nick and different people like that, Shane Winters and guys like that, just get so on fire for God and God just doing something in them. And I remember the guys walking around at the Bremen football games with Bibles and witnessing to people. I remember you guys doing that, and the Joshua days and people. And if you look at these, so many of these ministries, whether it be The Call or whether it be IHOP or Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry and all that, it's fueled with the energy of youth, okay? But I feel like the Lord has spoken to me just so clearly that this is not going to be the case with this revival right now. That this revival that God is birthing and releasing in the earth right now is going to be birthed and released on the shoulders of fathers and mothers of the house. That it's going to start with them. It's not going to start with 20-year-olds catching on fire, Kenny, but it's going to start with God coming in and radically changing mothers and fathers of the house and creating new wineskins with them. And the reason I believe that God clearly spoke to me, why? Because they have such a history with God. Not necessarily a history of always being successful, but a history nonetheless. And that because of this history that we have with God, it's going to have a deeper undertow that the younger ones will look and they will learn from and they can pattern after and all of that stuff. And I believe that this move is being ushered in by the fire that God is placing, the burning fire that God is placing. The first fruits is going to be on the mothers and the fathers of the house, not just here but everywhere. It's not the Lou Engle students catching fire, but the Lou Engles catching fire. That's why I'm so blessed to see you two mothers down here getting rocked in the presence, more so than if we had an altar call with, 15 kids came up. Yay, God, for all of it. But I'm really pumped about the first fruits of that. God's like, that's exactly what I'm talking about right there. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Because the generations that come behind us have not learned how to steward things. And God wants to teach us, with our history with Him, the mistakes that we've made, how to steward this thing properly. We were sitting at the... God speaks to me, seems like no matter what I'm doing, working on a farm or doing something that is totally, not in a spiritual vein. God makes things spiritual and speaks to me. We were sitting at... went to the music festival yesterday, and primarily my main guy that I wanted to go see was Warren Haynes. He's just an amazing guitar player and all of that. And of course, a lot of other members of the Allman Brothers. But God really spoke a lot of things to me on that. These headliners don't play till later on in the day. But when we got there first thing in the morning at 11 o'clock, first thing in the morning at a music festival. But when we got there first thing, you know what we did? We strategically placed our chairs where we would have a place 5 hours from now when the show really started. We didn't wait until the show was on and then say, oh, where are we going to go? We already had our chairs strategically placed. And I think that God spoke to me, and in the dream last night, God brought these things back to my mind. That's one thing that we're going to do, Leah, is your generation and generations after you are going to begin to learn and see strategies that we're getting because we have made mistakes through the years, but we've got this amazing long history with God, so you're going to learn from that. I sit there and I watch people, and I was sitting there watching people when these guys would come on, and I told you, I said, we went to see these guys. They play an hour and a half set, okay? Sal, we're sitting there, and after they come on, they'll do 20 minutes or 30 minutes into their set, and I'll see some of these young people around me, and you know what they'll do? They'll be like, man, that is awesome. That's amazing. Who wants to go get pizza? I'm serious. And 30 minutes into it, and they were totally dug the 30 minutes, but after 30 minutes, it's like, man, I'm hungry. Let's go get pizza. You know what you're going to do? You're going to burn 45 minutes up going to the other end of this huge field, buying your pizza, coming back. All you're going to hear is background noise. And I'm like, dude, this is why I came. And I'm not going to miss any of this. If I have to pee, I'll just hold it up real tight until he's through playing. If I'm hungry, I'll fast for the next 30 minutes because I came for this. And I really feel like, Beth, I really feel like with us and our history with God and our failures, but our successes and all of that stuff, that one of the main things that we're going to release to these guys is the fact that this is why we came. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. This is why we're here. We're not here for pizza. Y'all know what corny pizza tastes like. We're not here just to people. We're here for this. And I'm not going to miss it. And there's so much in the mothers and the fathers that would say, you know what? 20 years ago, I was the guy that went for pizza, but I have learned not to miss the main thing. And this is why I'm here. And I refuse to say, I'm going to strategically place myself. I'm going to strategically place myself. You know what Larry's a master of? You know what your dad's a master of, Cindy? Or Sonny? We'll be 50 foot off the stage, and when his guys are there, you know what Larry's doing? I'm going down there. And he can somehow manage to work his way through a crowd without ticking anybody off, without offending anybody. And 5 minutes later, he's on the front row. You sit here and you say, I came late to this party and I didn't get a front row seat. You know what you can do? If you want to bad enough, God will show you a way to navigate your way to the front. Jamie, if you want it bad enough, you can navigate your way to the front. I saw a woman with an issue of blood do it. I see a group of men holding four corners to a sheet with a paralytic on it. And I saw them do it. And they said, we didn't get the front row. But you know what? I want it bad enough. I'll navigate my way into His presence. And circumstances are going to try to keep you away from Him. Circumstances are going to try to keep you away from this move of God. Circumstances are going to say, it's a bad season. Or you got this going on. Or you got that going on. Or you got a lap full of grandchildren down here. That you a Gigi right now. You don't have time for this move of God. And you know what you can do? I can navigate my way around all of these circumstances. Because this is why I came. And I'm not missing why I came. I am not missing the main thing. And you know what the main thing is, Randy? It's not doing church kingdom stuff. I mean, it's not just church activity. You know what it is? It's His presence. It's His presence. And I'm not missing that. And the Lord told me, He said, this thing's going to start. He said, this thing is going to start on the shoulders of the fathers and the mothers of the house or in their lives. And then the second thing He told me in this, He said it's going to be born on their shoulders and not with any new cart that we can make that we think this is the way to do it now. You know what it was with the Great Awakening? Men and women on fire. That's what it was. You know what it was when Livingston was in Africa? A man on fire. You know what it would be with Jeff Vaughn in the Philippines? A man on fire. It won't be what kind of new cart can we create? How slick can we get? In this dream, I was in a slick mega church. I was sitting in a pew in a slick mega church in this dream I had last night. And God said, this revival is not going to be birthed in any new cart, but it's going to be bore on the shoulders of the priest. And that is men and women that are burning on fire for God's presence. Burning on fire. That's all I could pray over you Wednesday night as you were laying over on the floor and weeping, Beth. Was Holy Ghost fire. That's all I could say was Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. And all of this stuff, the accumulation of this, is you're going to start burning with a fire like you have never burnt with. Not like you used to burn with, like you've never burnt with. God's not going to replicate in you what He did in your 20s. Because in your 20s you didn't have that long hit. Now you've got that long history. You weren't a mother of the high. Now you're a mother and you have got a history with Him. So you've learned some things. You've learned to strategically place your chairs. You've learned how to navigate circumstances so you can get to the front without getting in a contest with everybody. You've learned how to do that out of necessity. So that's the two things that I just want to release this morning. Is it's going to start. It's going to start with the fathers and the mothers, but it's going to release on out, okay? And it's going to be bore on our shoulders. It's going to be bore on burning. That's what's going to be bore on, is burning. It's going to be bore on burning. All right? That's the answer. That's the answer. It's going to start in you. It's not going to start in our teenagers getting on fire. It's going to start on you because you've got a long history with God. You got, yeah, but it's full of this, 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 and this. And God said, I don't call you Jacob anymore. I call you Israel. I call you Israel. Yes, I think it was by design that we sang that song this morning, how He loves us. We are His portion. We are His inheritance. Okay? We are His inheritance. All of our lives are full of screw-ups. But God says, you know what? I've got a history with you. I've got a history with you. And we're going to redeem this stuff, and then we're going to set something on fire. I'm going to make a new wineskin, and then I'm going to fill it with new wine, and we're going to watch this thing burn. Amen? All right. Please don't anybody go get pizza during this move of God. I'm serious. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Don't go get pizza during this move of God. Do not miss it. Yeah, you can, because here's what you're going to want. Here's what's going to happen, is God individually will pass you by. And if you'll look right there, that's a bookshelf full of unread books. It's a bookshelf full of unread books. A bookshelf full of unread books. I do not want that to be you. I do not want that to be you. I want somebody coming up and saying, tell me about it. Tell me about it. Tell me what's happening. Tell me what's going on. Tell me why you're on fire. Tell me why you weep like you weep. Tell me why I see life like I see life in you.
It's going to cost us. It's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us our Friday nights. It's going to cost us our Saturday nights. It's going to cost us our Tuesday nights. It's going to cost us something. Don't be deceived thinking you can just show up and get it. It's going to cost us. It's going to cost us. But it's going to be so worth it. It's so worth it. He is so worth it, God. I just pray right now, God, that nothing, Lord, would be more important than you, Lord. Nothing, Lord, not our identities, God, not our reputations, God, not our money, not anything, not our jobs, nothing, God, not our sports, God, not our activities, God. Nothing, Lord, would be more important than you and your presence, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I just want to say publicly, Hunter and Haven, I don't apologize. I know y'all sit over here and you got the crazy mom over here that's screaming and yelling, but one day you'll know and one day you'll see why. And I pray that it's sooner than later. Just cling to Him. You know, part of me wants to say, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry. Just embrace Him and know one day you're going to see. You're going to see.
Amen. And I'll go ahead and declare that it doesn't have to be someday. I'll declare that that day is today. I declare now's the season. I was not in the service, but at Hope Chapel, I've heard them make multiple references to a service they had a couple this past week or two, where their kids, and I'm talking about Isaac's age and Zyler's age, and those age kids just began to, the power of the Holy Spirit hit the house so strong, and all of those kids just lay in the floor and weep and tremble in the presence of God for hours. God just doing profound work in their lives, profound work in their lives. So I pray that it's not when they get our age that we'll pass the baton. I declare now. I declare now. I declare now. Amen. We're going to release the worship team to come on down. Let's go ahead and release our kids to Children's Church. Bless them this morning. Just anoint the ministers. Amen. Just fill them, Lord. Amen. Church, let's do something right quick. Randy just told me that Deborah and Courtney had to leave, that Lindsey Coughlin Hendricks fell down the basement stairs, and they had to carry him to the emergency room. So let's just pray over him right now, okay? Let's just, Chris? He's good? All right. Well, let's just lift up a thanksgiving. Father, we come to you right now, and we just thank you for protecting this child. We thank you for, Lord, physically watching over him. And, Father, I pray that as today you physically protected his physical body, that, God, that you would have that same hedge around his spirit, man, that same hedge around his purpose, his calling. Father, as he grows up in this house and he grows up in Josh and Lindsay's home, that he would just know nothing but the love and passion of you, Lord. And I pray that it would burn hot in them. I pray it would burn hot in Deborah and Courtney. And God, just let that just catch fire in his life. So I just pray for Hendricks right now. I pray that no residual effects from this fall, just complete wholeness, complete health. In Jesus' name, we just give you thanks for your hand. Amen.
Please stay engaged. That's why we are keeping the lights off. God does wonderful things. He transitions us very well. Everything that Sid just said, he's talking about these older people leading the young people. That is fundamental, okay? That is fundamental Bible. Jesus tells us several times, you do as you've seen the Father do, okay? That is fundamental, all right? So that is, I believe that's the word that God has for us this morning. But before we go any further, I want to challenge everybody. I want to lock eyeballs with everybody in this room. I don't know why you were here this morning. It really doesn't matter. At this point in time, set aside the next few minutes to engage yourself, okay? I say it all the time in my classroom. I need your eyeballs because I want to make sure that you are engaged with what God has this morning. So engage this morning, and I promise you before you leave, you will have a touch of God this morning if you haven't had it already. You've had several opportunities, but if you will engage this morning, God will engage you back, okay? Don't endure the service, engage in the service, all right? So this morning, I really have felt God just really pressing fundamentals on the church for so many reasons, okay? And fortunately, just about all of us have been involved in athletics, and that's the easiest thing to tell a story and use fundamentals with. Somebody's played t-ball or football or wrestling or something like that, and we all look at fundamentals. I was kind of hoping Lisa was going to be here this morning so I could talk with her a little bit. But it's all about fundamentals. And there's two times when you look at fundamentals, okay, in the athletic realm. It's easiest for us to see something tangible. There's two times that you look at fundamentals. Number one is when you're introducing the fundamentals. When you have a 3 or a 4 or a 12-year-old that's engaging in this sport for the first time, you teach them the fundamentals. Okay, if it's baseball, you're teaching them where to put their hands. If it's football, it's where their feet go. If it's wrestling, it's where their hands go. There are fundamentals. And then the second time in an athlete's life that you go back and look at fundamentals is when there's a problem, when we're not producing, okay? That's when you go back and you look at fundamentals. It's when we're not producing. If one of Lisa's best hitters is in a slump, she's 0 for 12, she's not going to sit her on the bench. She's not going to call Coach Lou over there in Athens and say, hey, can you give me this just great exponential teaching on can I get a different swing from it? No, she's going to go back. She's going to look at the fundamentals. Are her hands in the right place? Are her feet in the right place? Okay, if I have a wrestler that can't get up off the bottom, I don't call Kale Sanderson at Penn State or Dan Gable and say, can you show me a level 5 Grammy, get this guy off the bottom? I go back and I make sure his hands are in the right place. I make sure that he's moving his hips on bottom and creating separation. It's something simple, okay? And fundamentals really are very, very important. You that much of something that's fundamental and things don't work. Come here, Hunter. Okay? In wrestling, go ahead, face. We all, go ahead, turn around and face everybody. We talk about hand control, okay? Everybody get wrist control, get hand control. And this is a form of wrist control and hand control, right? If anybody's ever, if you haven't seen a wrestling match, y'all need to start coming to mind, okay? I appreciate it. But this is wrist control and this is hand control, and everybody would agree with that, okay? Hunter, can you roll your wrist out of that? All Hunter has to do is roll his wrist out, okay? But if I move my hand 2 inches to the right and I actually get hand control, it has a much tougher time, okay? Much tougher time. He's a big, strong kid. He's much tougher time. Much tougher time. So that's how important, that's, you can sit down, that's how small the margin of error is in fundamentals. And God has really been pressing this upon me, okay? And when we best learn fundamentals is in our formative years, okay? It's easier to teach Judah how to put his hands on a bat now than it's going to be when he's 17, because he knows how to do it when he's 17. He knows everything, right? We're not guilty of that in our faith, are we? Okay? That's where it's important. Back then, I want you to right now, if you know the Savior, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to visualize your salvation experience. Okay, go ahead and do it. Close your eyes, visualize your, and I'm gonna pull on your emotions right here. I want you to think about when the God of the universe came down and spoke to you for the first time and said, "I love you." The Lily of the Valley, the Rose of Sharon, the Alpha, the Almighty God came down and He spoke to you and He said, "You're mine," and you probably wept in His presence. And you just let Him love on you. Think about that right now. And then think about the weeks to come. All you wanted was Him. You didn't need some exponential teaching. You didn't have to go somewhere to get this great move of God. You didn't have to go on a Daniel fast. Because you just wanted Him. You knew Him. You wanted the love from your Savior. Those are our formative years in Christ. That's when it's easiest for us to learn His fundamentals. You can open your eyes now that you visualize that. That's when it's easiest for us to learn His fundamentals. And I believe a lot of us in here have had that salvation experience, but I believe a lot of us are acting like teenagers with our salvation experience. We go back and look at fundamentals when we're not producing. This is hard to say, okay? But when Brett House stood up here weeks ago and said, who's been saved in the last 6 months in here? And nobody raised their hand. Last year. Year and a half. And we had a visitor who was about 6 years old come up and said, "Oh, I have." Church, Victory Fellowship, not Sid Garner, not Lord. Church, we're not producing. We are not producing. And it goes back to the fundamentals. It goes back to fundamentals. So I'm going to bring some fundamentals from the Bible. I'm using the Coach's Bible. Thank God for FCA. They do some wonderful things, okay? I'm going to use this. Not King James. Don't get tripped up. It's closer to the NIV. Everything's going to be okay. But I'm going to turn to some fundamentals for you this morning, okay? We're going to look at Matthew chapter 28. And I'm not going to assume that anybody has ever read this, okay? I'm not going to assume that this is something that you've applied to your life, because we need to go back and revisit it like it's the first time. When you go back and learn fundamentals, if you don't get everything out of your head, you're not going to relearn it the proper way. So I'm not going to assume anybody knows anything. You know what happens when you assume? I'm going to start in verse 16. Jesus, He's left everybody and He's talking with the disciples. And it says, the disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. And this is important. When He saw them, they worshipped, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, Jesus noticed, okay, there's an issue here. These guys, they're here, they're willing, they're worshiping Me, but something's not right, okay? And He knew that. He's seen that. He identified that there was a problem. He identified there was a problem with production. And He came to them and He said, all authority has been given to Me in heaven and in earth. So just in case you didn't know, in case you had it twisted, I want to let you know I have all authority whether I'm in heaven or standing before you. So in case you don't know who's talking to you right now, listen up. Okay, I have all authority here that I had in heaven. But He goes on and He tells them, Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. If you are a Christian, this is your job. Period. Okay? I don't know what God wants me. Here it is. Here's your fundamentals. Go, therefore, and make disciples. And we're going to stop right there. What is a disciple? Don't assume people know. What is a disciple? A follower. And we always use that term. A disciple is a follower of Christ. So if you're going to make disciples, you first have to be a disciple, okay? You have to be a follower of Christ. But if you go on and look, I'm a very basic guy. I look up definitions all the time in class, okay? I do it all the time. Has anybody ever Googled the word disciple, hit define disciple? I know some of y'all playing on your phones right now. You can Google it. Define disciple, okay? Hit define disciple. The first word that's listed is follower. You have to be following Jesus. You have to have that experience with God. But the second word that they list is teacher. If you are saved by that guy we just talked about, if you know him, you're called to be a teacher, period. Do not reject that calling. Right there, right now, someone that struck with you, you've rejected the fact that you're a teacher. You may not stand up in front of everybody, have a PowerPoint, and present things, but you are a teacher of Christ. A teacher of these fundamentals of Christ. A teacher that says you have to be a follower of Christ. You are anointed to be a teacher. Okay? Period. Point blank, period. Every single person in here. Those are fundamentals. If you're not following that fundamental this morning, get back to the fundamental. You are a teacher. The third word that comes up when you Google this and hit define disciple, is leader. Well, I'm not really that guy that's out. You don't have to be. Okay, you don't have to be someone that stands up and does all these things. My favorite leaders that I coach are the ones that don't say a word and they just do what they're supposed to do. But you are supposed to be a leader. And because I like definitions, I Google leader as well. And on down the list for leader, it says when you have like a blank piece of tape, like that see-through scotch tape, a leader is a starting point that you can find, a point of origin. You may need to be someone's point where they start, what is different about this guy? And you help lead these people to where they need to go. You are called to be a leader. You are called to be a follower. You are called to be a teacher. You are called to be a leader. Point blank and period. Okay? These are basic fundamentals of Christ. If we're not engaging and doing these things, guys, do not expect to produce results. If I don't put my eye on the baseball, I'm not going to hit it. Okay? I may get lucky once in a while. You know, somebody may throw me something to be where my bat is, but if I'm not doing these things, you will not hit the baseball or the softball. You will not score the takedown. The last thing that it brought up that I loved is it said guide. So if you're going to make disciples, you have to be a disciple. And to be a disciple, there's four things. You have to be a follower. You have to be a teacher. You have to be a leader. And you have to be a guide. You can't say, hey, man, I'm glad you're following Jesus now. Good luck, all right? Have a great day. And guys, this doesn't say, well, the pastors have to be the guide or praise and worship. If you are a disciple, if you are a follower, you are called to do this. Do not reject that call. So many times we get these new Christians in here. Oh, man, following Jesus. Go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about 15 times. You're going to be great. Have a good life. We are failing to make disciples because we may not know that we need to do these things. So if you didn't know those things, those are four ways right now you can impact the production at Victory Fellowship. You find those four things. Whatever you're not doing, whatever I'm not doing, I've got to find those four things. So there's a group of people in here. When we have altar call in just a minute, you're going to come down. Okay, you're going to come because we've got to reposition ourselves to get what we're talking about this morning. You have to direct your experiences to these four things, period. That is not an option for anyone. If you are a follower of Christ, those are the four things that you must engage in. As fundamentals, fundamentals, people, fundamentals. Oh, man, God has hammered me with some fundamentals this week. To be a teacher, I am a teacher. I feel like I do it pretty good. I do okay, Trace? You don't know? Okay. Well, to be a teacher, I'm going to help some teachers out in here this morning. I know we got a couple. Jesus teaches, okay? He teaches in the Bible all the time. But what does he do to break down the Scripture? What does he use? He uses stories, parables, illustrations. He uses things to help you understand and relate things to today. When I teach U.S. history, I don't say, well, back 17. No, I relate things today. It has to be relatable. If it's not relatable, it's not going to stick. So Jesus is telling you how to be a teacher if you don't know how to be a teacher. Okay? And then everything else that he's calling you to do out of these four things, guess what? There's stories in the Bible that tells you how to do it. Okay? Next scripture I want to look at this morning. Okay? I'm going to turn over to Luke. These are basic fundamentals of Jesus. Okay? Basic fundamentals of Christ so that we can start producing. That's what he's called us to do. Make no mistake about it. He has not called us to sit here and be happy. Guys, I can tell you, I told my wife last night, went out to dinner, went to prom. It was fun. I like that stuff. I don't hate that stuff. I like parties. I like celebrations. But we went out to dinner, and I told her last night, I said, I'm happier right now than I've ever been in 33 years. Things aren't perfect. Things are, I'm telling you, to get into education from what I was doing, there's definitely some sacrifices, but I'm happier now than I've been. And I believe it's because I'm understanding some of these basic fundamentals God wants us to understand. I want us to look at this. If you're not part of the first group, you're probably part of this second group right here that didn't know what you were supposed to do. I guarantee you, you're part of this group. I was part of this group. I'm going to look at, we call this the story of the prodigal son. And we all assume that this is something that everybody knows because it's basic fundamentals of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to assume that this morning. I'm going to read every single word that's in my Bible here, and I want you to intently listen to the story. Okay, this is a story. This is God relating himself to you. He says, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me a share of the estate that I have coming to me. So he distributed the assets to them. Not to the one, but to them. Okay? They both got their inheritance. Not many days later, the younger son gathered together all that he had, and he traveled to a distant country, where he squandered his estate in foolish living. He had spent everything. A severe famine struck the country, and he had nothing. Then he went to work for one of the citizens of that country who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to eat his fill from the carob pods. I think the King James Bible says husks. Okay, the pigs were eating, but no one would give him any. We can stop, guys, and we could teach a lot of things just on these verses, but you need to hear the story this morning. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have more than enough food? And here I am dying of hunger. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to my father, and I'm going to say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired hands. So he got up, and he went off. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion. And he ran, he threw his arm around his neck, and he kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father told his slaves, go bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And then bring the fattened calf and slaughter it. And let's celebrate with a feast. Because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is now found. So they began to celebrate. Now, his older son was in the field and he came near to the house. He heard the music and he heard seen the dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and he asked these what these things meant. And they said, your brother is here, he told him. And your father has slaughtered the fattened calf and because he is back safe and sound. Then he became angry and did not want to go in. So his father came out and pleaded with him. But he replied to his father, look, I've been slaving for many years for you. I have never disobeyed your orders, yet you've never given me so much as even a young goat. So I celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him. And we use that verse and we always stop right there. And that's the story, okay? We always stop right there and we sit back. And we pick up the stone. We start throwing it at the non-prodigal son. What a selfish, what a jerk. Who does he think he is? Why does he act this way? He should be out celebrating. He should be out excited. He should be out happy that his brother has returned home. But guys, we pick up those stones, and how many of us have sat around and said, I don't know why he got that promotion. I don't know why I don't have this office. I don't know. Who is that person? I have been here. I have been faithful in my orders that you've given me. I've been faithful in my duties. I have done things the right way. Guys, I have said this. I've said this to him. We talk about Mark and Bones. We've had that conversation several times. We used to run around and do all kind of things together, okay? And we'd come back home, and those two would go off, and I would get lit up for whatever reason, okay? And I used to, I didn't even do that. And we would get upset. I was like, I guess he likes Mark and Bones better than me. He hates me. I do everything right, but I always get in trouble. That was me. We do that at work. We do. We do it at work. I don't know why this person gets a raise and here I am slaving away. We do it all the time. Why does it happen? Okay? Why does it happen? We're going to get to that, but the next thing that happens is extremely important. Okay? It is extremely important. It says the father left the party and he came out to this guy. He left the party and he came out to his son. He left the party and he came out to his son because it was important. And he says, son, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. The problem here was not that the non-prodigal son wasn't doing things the right way. He was. He was certain. Every week he was shaking hands at the door and he was tuning up guitars and helping with the sound. Every week he did what. But the problem was his heart wasn't the same as the father's. He did what the father told him to do, but he wasn't watching his father. He didn't see him sit up on the porch every day and just hope that his son was coming home. He didn't do those things because his heart was not right with the father. And even so, even as many wrongs as the non-prodigal son did, it took the father coming out. It's the father's responsibility to go out and find this person and say, look, I don't know what your problem is. I don't know. But look, here I am. You're always, I love you, son. I am always with you. The same that Jesus said when we look back at the Great Commission that we talked about and he was telling everybody you're supposed to be disciples. He says, I'm always with you at the end of that. So in case you get off center, just come talk to me. I'm here. I'm with you. But it took the father going out and saying, I love you. I don't know what's wrong, but here I am. You want to have a party? Let's have a party, son. And we don't do that as Christians. We want to talk about that. That's all about me. We'll go to the ball field. We'll find the parent that only roots for his or her son. And we'll talk about it. I'm sorry. Why don't we go up to him and say, hey, look at Timmy out there. Hey, ain't Timmy doing good? Hey, look, we all in this together. Why don't we do that? It's easier to sit on the porch. It's easy to sit on the porch. And that's not fundamental. You turn back to the Great Commission. He says, do the things that you've observed me to do. Do the things you've observed me to do. And if someone's not in your line of sight, go get in their line of sight. Just move yourself. Position yourself and get in somebody's line of sight. If they're not doing right, don't talk about how terrible they are. Go get with them. That is not the solution. That is counterproductive. That's why we don't produce. We're counterproductive. And we have the ability to do these things. We have to, and that's what God's called us to do. You look in the same chapter, he talks about the parable of the sheep, okay? And I'm not going to assume anybody's ever read it because these are basic fundamentals. He tells a story, and he tells a story. He said, would you, if you're not a shepherd, if you have one lost sheep, go and find the one lost and leave the 99? He said, and he uses the term in an open field. Would you not do that? And everybody, well, of course you would. Well, why would you do that? What's the shepherd's job? Take care of the sheep. Protection, right? That's the shepherd's job, is protection. Who needs protection more, the one or the 99? The one. The one is out there by himself fighting the elements, hating life. He's down. He's depressed. He needs you, not the 99. The 99 were left in an open field without the shepherd because they can protect themselves. In an open field, somebody can see the wolf coming in. Hey, guys, trouble coming that way. Let's move. In an open field, if I'm faced this way, and Sid's face that way, we can protect each other. We can edify each other. But what happens so often, guys, in that group of 99, we're a group of 99 individuals. We sit on a porch and we talk about people instead of running and grabbing them. We sit on the porch and we stay in the party while someone stays out by themselves. Well, you want to come to the party? He can come to the party. We do that all the time. That is wrong. There's no gray area to that. That is wrong. How do I know it's wrong? Because God tells us to observe what he does and then do those things, and that's what God does. He goes out and he grabs people. He doesn't talk bad about them. He helps them become followers, leaders, teachers, and guides. That is your job, church, Victory Fellowship, point blank and period. That is our job. The flock is strong enough. The flock is strong enough to take care of themselves, okay? But only when we act like this instead of like this. Okay? Everybody's seen that analogy before. You can have five fingers or you can have a fist. What brings more? The fist. The fist does. These are basic fundamentals of Christ Jesus, guys. I felt if we're going to get there, what we've got to do is we have to do some introspective things and realize we're not following the fundamentals of Christ right now. Don't you dare expect to produce. Don't you dare expect Harrelson County High School, Bremen High School, the West Georgia area to just all of a sudden poof and God's going to lay down. He can do that when he wants to. But he tells you to do some things. You will not inherit the things of the Father if you don't do the things he's asking you to do. He will bless you. And we're blessed. Guys, I'm as blessed as I've ever been. Okay? Broke as I've ever been, but I'm as blessed as I've ever been. Okay? But he is not going to come down and sit down and say, this is the spot, until we start doing what he's told us to do. Okay? That's point blank and period. And I don't have a whole lot of other things. I don't have a whole lot of other stories for you this morning. But I guarantee you, if you're in this church this morning and you don't know Christ, you fall under one of those two categories. Either you didn't know what you were supposed to do, or you know what you're supposed to do and you hadn't been doing it. This is a morning, and I'm glad we have the people here that are here this morning. I'm glad we don't have 185,000 visitors here, because this is for us. This is for us. And if we don't declare today and this morning to make an altar with God to decide that we're going to change some things, if we don't declare, God, all right, I'm guilty. I haven't been a leader. I haven't been a teacher. I haven't been a guide. God, I'm guilty. I haven't got off the porch to help anybody. I've been throwing rocks at the non-prodigal son instead of going out and saying, son, everything I have is yours. That happens to us so frequently, guys. So frequently. So frequently. So I want us to stay engaged this morning, and that's it. That's all I have for you this morning. But I guarantee you that Tyler, do you mind? Tyler and James, y'all can switch out. There's going to be some impartation come forth this morning. Y'all go ahead and start playing as soon as you can. Okay? There's going to be some impartation this morning. Here's what I know. I'm not going to pretend not to know what goes on here. I'm supposed to know what goes on inside the body. You're supposed to know what goes on inside this body. And I'm not going to pretend like I don't know that there's some people that need this morning. I need this morning. Seal was talking about Bill Johnson. He doesn't go in and just prepare for a certain group. He just breaks off a piece of what God's done with him. I needed this. I've been reclusive in my life, hanging out with only my small circle of friends. And I don't go and tell the people, hey, man, I appreciate what you do. God tells us to edify. He tells us to do these things. If you look in 2 Peter, God tells you, for his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. By these he has given us every great and precious promise so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world that evil desires. For that very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, your goodness with knowledge, your knowledge with self-control, and self-control with endurance, and endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and with brotherly affection, love. Those are the things this morning. You're going to fall into one of those two categories, and you can make a decision, Victory Fellowship, to sit down and say, I'm doing fine. Or you can make a decision to go where we are supposed to go. That is your choice this morning. You're going to say, I need to get into doing what I'm supposed to be doing. God, I've failed my fundamentals. Let me revisit them. Let me remember the time where all I could do was smile because I could feel the warmth and the glory of your face. Because you held me in your arms and told me everything was going to be okay. So this morning, everybody stand to your feet. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you're not going to be the only one down here this morning. And I'm not going to pretend like everybody in here knows Christ. If you don't know Jesus this morning, if you haven't had the moment that I've talked about, right now, come on down. You won't be the only person in the altar this morning. I can guarantee you that. If you don't know Jesus, come on down. If you do know Jesus and you have failed in following, you have failed in teaching, you have failed in leadership, you have failed as being a guide this morning, and you heard God tell you, I've got to fix these things. Right now, come to the altar. Come to the altar. There will be people praying for you. We're singing a song called Deliver Me. And it's not just deliver me from all these things, but deliver me too. Don't just deliver me from evil, but deliver me to your glory. And this morning, if you are guilty of being on either end of the non-prodigal son, either A, hating the prodigal that came home, or B, not getting off the porch and going to tell the non-prodigal to come to the party, come on down. As we sing this song, ask God to deliver you from the things that you need deliverance from and deliver you to the places he's called us to be.
deliver me out of the sadness. Deliver me from all of the madness. Deliver me, courage to guide me. Deliver me, your strength inside me. All of my life I've been in hiding, wishing there was someone just like you. Now that you're here, now that I've found you, I know that you're the one to pull me. Deliver me, giving and sharing. Deliver me, this cross that I'm bearing. All of my life I've been in hiding, wishing there was someone just like you. Now that you're here, now that I've found.
I know I do this all the time. I'm sorry. I can't help myself. Y'all just slide together and join hands with the person next to you. Right now it's not about you. Right now it's just releasing love and life into the person next to you. It's nothing to do about your circumstance. Right now it's about you releasing love and life into the person next to you. Father, as we soak in your presence, as we feel your embrace, stir in us and move in us to take this moment and to go and do likewise. As we feel your love, as we feel your encouragement, as we feel your acceptance, as we feel your call, as we feel your inheritance in our lives right now, that we would go and do likewise and release that into the earth. Father, I pray for every person. I just release your love, release your life into the person to my right and to the person to my left. Your love, your life, just release it into them. Your hope, I release it into them. So wash over them, Father. Wash over them with your goodness, with your mercy, with your grace. And then let them in turn release it into the earth, release it into the world, that we would go and do likewise. Oh, Lord, we love you and we lift you up. We thank you for this moment. We thank you for this moment with you. Yes. In Jesus' name we ask this. And in Jesus' name we place all of our hope today. Amen. Amen. Y'all give somebody a hug. Release this out into the earth. Release it, release it, release it. As you guys are kind of getting your stuff, remember the crusade starting this Saturday at 7. This Saturday at 7, and then it's going to be the rest of the week. Harrelson County High School.